Now, golf is a sport that people commonly think of as beautiful. It's serene, you're walking along beautiful countryside, rolling hills. When did golf become a subject for artists?
It's right about the moment that we're featuring in the exhibition, which is the middle of the 19th century, particularly in Scotland. There are early variants of the game of golf that were played in the Netherlands that were treated then by artists. But as an actual topic, the modern game of golf really began to be a subject in about the 1830s and the 1840s, and they are by Scottish artists because that's where golf was played at that moment.
Were the artists trying to document the game and the people involved, or were they trying to create art, or both?
They were doing a little bit of both. We find in the exhibition that there are paintings actually by artists who were golfers themselves, so they have a great feeling for the game. There's also one of the features that we find in art of the mid-19th century is that British artists in particular are interested in telling a great narrative and a story, and so they're including many details about clothing and costume and personality and social customs, and that is revealed so dramatically in the centerpiece of the exhibition, the painting by Charles Lees, which shows more than 50 people assembled on the links at St. Andrews, and you get a great sense of the personalities and what the crowd, what it was like to be there watching that match.
Does this exhibition tell a particular story about the game of golf?
It focuses on one painting, which is probably one of the most celebrated paintings of golf, made in 1847. And so the exhibition is really focused on that painting. We include a number of sketches and photographs used in its preparation, and then have brought in a number of other portraits and paintings that help to set it into context and to tell us a little bit more about the key players that are represented in that scene. So it gives us a very close look at a moment in time, which is really in about 1844 to 1850, of what it was like to play golf in Scotland then.
And was golf a game of privilege?
It was increasingly by the 19th century. Of course, originally anyone could, with a had a wooden club and a wooden ball, could go out and play on common land, because many of the most famous golf courses in Scotland were originally land that was used for sheep, for grazing, and there was lands that were commonly held amongst individuals in that particular region. And in fact, today the golf courses are themselves owned by a public trust. But by the middle of the 19th century, in order to be really competitive in the game of golf, you had to have a feather ball, you had to have very expensive clubs and balls and equipment, and of course there were a number of golfing societies that formed that did have sort of expected to have various sort of gentlemen members, although we do find professors playing at St. Andrews next to noblemen, titled gentlemen. And many of the greatest players in Scotland in the middle of the 19th century are what we might consider the first professionals. They are men like Alan Robertson, who was a feathery ball maker, and was also producing clubs. So they were both recognized as very successful and very skillful golfers, but were themselves also practicing trades.
So you have, as the centerpiece of the exhibition, this very large painting. You consider it a landscape?
It could be. It's 7 feet wide, and you might consider it a landscape because the area around St. Andrews does feature so prominently in it. I'm also intrigued by the scale of the painting because it sort of reminds you of a history painting, of a sort of grand historical subject, which is in fact filled with people, and in this case is recording a match on the golf course. So I'm not sure how we might think of that in terms of a great history, a moment in history, but of course for many golfers it is.
And painters who painted golf seem to stand somewhere between maritime painters, who are not there in the middle of a storm, but depict storms at sea, and painters who paint models in their studio. Artists who were painting the game of golf, how did they work?
Well, from the pieces that we have in the exhibition and the sketches at hand, it's very clear that Charles Lees would have painted the picture of the golfers in a studio because it was simply too large to take outside. But we do have in the exhibition a number of smaller sketches that are maybe 18 inches by 20 inches that might have been taken outside, and they capture a real sense of energy and focus on players' movements, and I think they're very likely have been done outside in front of a match in order to allow him to get a sense of how players would stand. So there's a little bit of working outdoors, watching, observing a match, and then taking it back to the studio and creating a much more formal work. In Lee's case, he was actually a portrait painter. So when you study the painting, each of the 54 characters is very, very well and very accurately represented. So you can see how his portrait practice has influenced the sporting subject.
Was he using artistic license to portray the actual people in the painting?
Yeah, this is one of the great puzzles of the painting, which is that the betting books for the Royal and Ancient Golf Club for the particular years surrounding the Charles Lee's painting are lost. So there's no actual record of this match that occurs between these four Scottish gentlemen, although it's generally thought by historians of golf that the match must have occurred. I think it's unlikely that it was observed by 50 people. So I think while the core of the action probably did happen, and I would suspect Lee himself might not have been there for it, he did sort of pull in a number of other imagined spectators. So it's probably documenting a real match, but he's used tremendous artistic license to pull it into a very engaging picture.
And I see you also have a carbon print.
One of the earliest photographs, I think, of the sport of golf is in the exhibition. It's a photograph by the pioneer photographers David Octavius Hill and Robert Adamson. And it, interestingly, records some of the key figures in the painting in poses that they would also carry in the painted work. And so it seems to suggest that Lee's had a copy of that photograph in his studio and then he used it to help him with the painting.
And how did you make selections about the non-painting items in this exhibition?
We've included a number of pieces of, I guess, golf equipment. We have a feathery ball, we have two clubs from the period, and a red coat. And we thought that would sort of enliven the exhibition, and certainly the feather ball is an object of great interest, to give you a sense of what the players were actually using.
What is a feather ball?
A feather ball is a form of a golf ball that was used from about 1600 to 1850. It's three pieces of leather that are stitched together, and then inside is they would take a gentleman's top hat, fill it with either chicken or goose feathers, and then all of those feathers would be crammed into this very small ball, which would then become very hard and was painted white. It was a very difficult way to make a ball, but they performed much better than the earlier wooden balls, which would, of course, crack and become deformed. Right about 1850 is the end of the feathery ball moment. But interestingly, your ball was your most expensive piece of equipment. It far outpriced your clubs.
It also looks as if golf attire has changed significantly.
Yes, there's a very old-fashioned red coat that we are exhibiting in the exhibition, and that was a standard sort of member's coat for members of the Royal and Ancient Golf Club. But you see in Charles Lee's painting that there are gentlemen playing with top hats and these frock coats and extraordinary, sort of what we wouldn't think of as very comfortable sporting attire today.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.